Okay. Let me just go over the big nakuda, the big chiddush of the Nefesh HaChaim that we learned on Sunday. And the key sentence here. Shalom, excuse me one second. I should put this on, you want to put it on airplane mode so it doesn't ring in the middle? The big chiddush here that we learned is that I don't know if anybody still remembers, but I do. About a year ago, when we first came to this idea, in Shaar Rishon, I didn't understand what to do, and actually it was right after Rav Tversky's shiur, and I asked him, can you explain what Tzilul Tzarek Kavayahu, and he said, quote, beats me. but the truth is I was impatient because I had forgotten at the time that if you go to Shaar Beis, he explains it very well. This is no, I didn't mean that as a reflection on Rav Tversky. I'm only saying that it's a very complicated concept because what Tzvila Tzarek Kavayu, you daven because you need to, you need what you need to do. Speak to Hashem. You need something. Speak to Hashem. What does it mean, Tzarek Kavayu? And in Chassidus, he confirmed, it's also very much bringing the Malchus into this world. So what's Tefillah Tzarek Kavayahu? And what the Nefesh HaChaim explained, this is a Lashon, by the way, which appears a lot of times in the Zohar and in Sefer Kabbalah, Tefillah Tzarek Kavayahu. So what the Nefesh HaChaim explained is that the way the world works, Yediya, the way the world works is that the world is... there before the world was there. The world was in Shemayim. Not only as a blueprint, but as a spiritual entity, there was the world as we know it. And it was full of malachim and full of whatever was there before the Briyas Ha'olam. I have no idea. And then Hashem, the Chachmasai, decided to beam it down into the world that we live in, and hence we live in this world. So the world, like it's almost like, I'm just saying my... understanding of it, it's almost like a projector image, the world that we live in, of the world of Shemayim. And if you'd be looking at a movie on the screen on the wall, and that's being projected onto with the machine, and you would start to do graphic art on the wall, like, you know, let's give this guy a mustache or something. It's silly because it doesn't really take care, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't, you can't sharpen it on the wall. You have to sharpen it in the makor. So what you have to do is go back into, what used to be called film, and you would edit it over there. And it seems that that's the gavaya and the tachtoina. It's a mashal. I'm only saying a mashal. That's the gavaya and the tachtoina. So what happens is everything starts in the Shemayim, and this is infinite, and this goes way, way before there was ever such a thing as a world. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to project it downwards. Hence the story Bereishis Bara Elokim, as Hashemayim as Aretz, and Adam and Chava, and Noach and the Mabul, and let's try this again. Edit, let's edit the film. This one didn't work, you know. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally decided this is a permanent. This is the permanent copy. Save. Yom v'layla lo yishpoisu, the world's not going to change again. This is the world as we know it. But as much as it's the world as we know it, it's still being projected, kivyochel, into this world. And what we're in, it's almost like we're... it's not that it's not real, it's very real, but it's only a reflection or a projection of that which is going on in the Shemayim. So if one is davening, so you can daven on the screen, or you can daven on the projector level, you can daven on the makabel, or you can daven on the noisein. Reb Tzadok gets fancy and he says, Torah shebiksav, Torah shebal peh. It's Yisarusa de la'ela, Yisarusa de la'sato. There's a lot of different concepts which cover this. But the point is that there's the Yerushalayim Shalmala, there's Yerushalayim Shalmata. So you can work on a couple of different levels. You can work on the level of Mata, so then you're an engineer. or a doctor, or all those people that are very, very involved, the physicists that are very, very involved in the physical world, and that's good. That's a good thing. But there's another bechina of working in the Olam HaSeil Yonim, which is the makar of the world every single second. And that's tefillah tzarech gavaya. Now comes the question, when we daven, are we davening like a physicist or are we davening like a rabbi? Like, what's the davening here? Are we davening l'tzarech tachtoina or are we davening l'tzarech gavaya? Comes the mekubalim. And they teach that as much as all of the words, and this is important to me to understand, that as much as all the words of the tefillah seem to be very personal. Refa'inu Hashem v'nei rofe. Right? It's all very personal. Even the spiritual is personal. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. V'karveinu malkeinu l'avidasecha. It's all very personal. Sim shalom. So if it's all very personal, it would seem the most obvious shot in that is that the tefillah is l'tzarech mata. Like daven here, this is what you're doing. Like you're an engineer, but you're a spiritual engineer. You're a physicist, but you're a spiritual physicist. So comes the chazal, lashon chazal of tefillah tzarech gavaya, that our tikkunim that we're making is in the shemaim. And I explained at the beginning of the week that it's ad kedei kach that the anshei knesses hagdola b'chachmasam who created the Shmona Esrei. Let's talk specifically about Shmona Esrei. What they were privy to, the knowledge that they were privy to, was that how to come up with the exact words even that are misakin tikkunim in the shemayim, so you're going to get a different world than the world that we live in. We were talking this morning, just as an example, this morning after davening, the two lushoinus, when we say baruch aleinu, now it's Baruch Aleinu Zman because of a Saint Talamotar. So some Siddurim, this is not a Nusach issue, it's a halachic issue. Do we say V'sabeinu Mituva or do we say V'sabeinu Mituvecha? So V'sabeinu Mituvecha, two different meanings completely. V'sabeinu Mituvecha, as we're saying, Takarish Baruch Hu, let us have Sevilla from you, Mituvecha, from your goodness. V'sabeinu Mituva means that Hashem, you please bless the land, Saint Talamotar Levracha Al Pnei Adama. V'sabeinu mituva, and let's have sviya from it. So it's really, when you think about it, it's the same chakira. When we're davening, are we talking God or are we talking Adama? What's fascinating is I mentioned to there's a sitter over here, Saint Talamotar Levracha Al Pnei Adama. V'sabeinu mituva, So the sofe osios is yudke vavke, right? Alpnei yud ha'adama he v'sabeinu vav mituva he. So comes the Arizal, supposedly. I say supposedly that the Kav Chaim says he never saw such an Arizal, but some's the Arizal, and he says this is the right way to do it. Yud kei vav kei, get that yud kei vav kei, and the sabenu mituva, not the sabenu mituvecha. It's ironic. It's what? Sabenu mituvecha doesn't have an end.
It should be the other way.
Ibcha Mistavra, Sabeinu Bituva, the Mekubalim, the Arizal, the Shechina, Sabeinu Bituva from the Aretz. Dafka, we should be going. So here you have, I believe, right? You hear the Kasha? It's a Shtarka Kasha. Sabeinu Mituva, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which sounds so spiritual, is talking about Sabeinu Mituva, which is the Aretz. And the Poiskim say it's a good, the Grog takes a different angle on it, and he says that's a good Lashon because it's the same Lashon. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, he says it's a good Lashon. The same Lashon we say by Bracha Achreina, Mituva, with the Mapik Hei, from the Eretz. And in Chutz La'aretz, says the Grog, maybe you should say Mituvecha. But the point is, Mituva sounds very Gashmias. And the answer is no. Sabeinu Mituva, the Tefillah, I mean, possibly the very deep thing here is that with Sabeinu Mituva, what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we're making tikkunim limala so that the Aretz and the Adama limata works correctly. And when it works correctly, with Sabeinu Mituva. In other words, it's not, we're not sort of going direct LaHaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the system here. The system is we're saying a Tefillah Baruch Aleinu as Hashanah Azayis. We're asking Baruch Aleinu, give a Shefa Bracha from Lamala, and make the Aretz, the Saint Talamata Livracha al Pnei Ho'adoma, B'sabeinu Mituva. And then we become part of a system. So it could be, and Agav, the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei in particular is a shame of this world. It's a shame of Hashgacha Pratis. It's not a shame of Lamala Mina Teva. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the shame of Teva. That is the shame of Teva. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Haya Hoyve V'yiyah is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Haya Hoyve V'yiyah has to do with Zman, and Zman is part of this world. So it's dafka the name of Hashgacha Pratis. So it all actually works nicely according to the Arizal. Sabeinu Mituva, which is Ipcha Mistavra, from what you would think the point is. So that's the summation with a little bit of addition of what we learned so far, is that Tfila Letzara Kavaya, whole new idea of when you're davening for yourself or for the generation or for the land or for the people that we're in. On the one hand, it's all B'Lashon Rabbim, Al Pi Rov, or Fa'enu, even Shema Koleinu is in a Lashon Rabbim. You don't say Shema Koli, in Tefillah anyway. Say in other places, it says Shema Koli B'Yom Ekra, but not in Tefillah Shema Koleinu. So it's a Tefillah for the world. But more than expanding to the world this way, what you're actually doing, comes the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and they teach us Tzarek Avaya. The tikkunim that you're making with these words is tikkunim in Shamayim. So if you say V'sabeinu Mituva, V'sabeinu Mituvecha, might be the difference between whether it's going to rain today or not. Because these are the tikkunim that you're making in the Shamayim. Yeah, move on.
How would you understand the Gra's Mivecha in Chutz Laretz?
Because there's no Hashgacha Pratis in Chutz Laretz, according to the Gra. The Gaon says that he learns the Pshat in the Rambam, not in that sugi right now, that the Hashgacha Pratis of Yud Kei Vav Kei is Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. Paltrin Shel Melech. In Chutz Laretz, it's a different level. Obviously, there's Hashgacha, but there's Hashgacha Klolos. There was when I was at Yeshiva, there was a Bacher who was like one of these scholarly guys who learned Mar Nevuchim, you know the type. So he, every time something happened with him that was remarkable, he says, "Psss, mamash hashkacha klalas." It was a nunnik, like.
That was the
chutz laretz? That was a chutz laretz, yeah. It's mamash hashkacha klalas. Okay, now I want to, I know we need to go back further inside, but inside you could really read it, but I just want to expand the concept a little bit further. Then we'll zoom through the inside. Reb Tzadok HaKohen, in the Kuntres Divrei Seferim, Reb Tzadok wrote many svarim. So one of them is called Kuntres Divrei Seferim. And here in Kapitel Lamed, and for that matter in Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis, what he is exploring here is Lifal Yeshua LaAcherim. This is a Rebbeshe Kapitel here. Lifal Yeshua LaAcherim. How do you, okay, here's the story. You're a Rebbe, and somebody comes to you and asks you to be Poyol Yeshua for them. Right? I need a Refuah Shelema. I need Parnasa. I need a Yeshua. So how do you do that? If you know it, you're rich. how do you poil Yeshua Slachem? Did you want to say something first?
I was just going to say, like, the personal choice in the middle of Shemitah, really, it's a red herring in a way.
So, it's interesting. We were talking about it. The tefillos in Shema Koleinu, so there the halacha says it's permitted to insert your own personal tefillos. But it sounds, when you watch people davening, obviously I'm standing the other direction, but when you're watch people daven, you get the feeling sometimes that they're having much more kavana. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. They're having a lot more kavana by the personal tefillos of Shema Koleinu than you know, Baruch Alenu Zajon Rezer Rezegon, you know. And my proof for that is that if the same person who davens Shemir Nesrei for 10 minutes davens for the Amid, all of a sudden takes a minute. Because there's no, you don't put your personal tefillahs in when you daven for the Amid. So mashma, that's the missing piece. But I don't know, everybody, Markadi's site. But it's mashma in Shulchan Aruch, that's a heter. Like, you're allowed to. So we'll get to the end in a second. But Shema Kaleinu, let's say, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Berurah brings, that you could be, you can insert your own tefillahs. You're talking, you're standing in front of God, and you're talking to God, so make it sound good. And, you know, the Mishnah Berurah prefers Lashon HaKodesh. This is a very interesting thing, if I recall. Better Lashon HaKodesh than in other Lashonis. He says, but Yiddish is okay. It's mashma that it has a certain kedusha to it also. This, something that the Jews used to speak. It's b'di'evid. I never looked at it as b'di'evid, but b'di'evid in the sense that the Nefesh HaChaim is going to say in Perek Yud Aleph that you're davening, you have to see yourself as a soldier of sorts. I don't think we should visualize this the wrong way, but as a soldier who's, you know, when you're on, you know, you're in the army now. So if you're in the tzava, you really are not meant to be looking after your personal interests. It's amazing to me that so many thousands of chayalim, let's say in this country, are able to rise above their personal interests and take a bullet for another person. It's a common thing, and even though they don't particularly seem so spiritual necessarily before or after, but during somehow, they are. It's an interesting thing. Or that's just the Bechina of Malchus, however you want to understand it, but the idea, says Nefesh HaChaim, is that if somebody's speaking to his commander, Lahavdil, in the army, and you start asking for your own personal, the air conditioning in my thing is not working well, and I really need some new shoes, and you know, this gun jams, you know, like if it has to be Lutzarek Gavoya, the tvila, the bakosh has to be Lutzarek Gavoya. So Beseder, at the end, you know, maybe the conversation, you know, by the way, can you help me out with the AC? You know, that's a permissible insert. But it's not the essence of tefillah. When it turns around, and this seems to be clear to me, that when it turns around to that being the essence of tefillah, so the whole davening is, you know, like mumbling away, and mumbling is not good, because what we're learning now is that every word of tefillah finds its makom. So if you mumble the word, it's like you're not chewing your food. You know, it's not having the effect that it should have. I'm not saying this is not my, I'm me saying this is the Shalosh says that those words, the Malachim don't know what to do with those words. Hashem doesn't know what to do with those words necessarily. So you have to, even when you're learning Torah, you have to say the words clearly. It's important to enunciate the words. So, you know, we should give elocution classes, particularly to those who daven for the Amud. They should know how to say words. Ivra. But that's the most important thing. And mutter, to insert your own tefillahs. I'm not against it. It's a good thing. Stand in front of Hashem and daven. I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning of the week or not, but I'll say it again. That years and years ago, I remember that the yeshiva that I was in, Rav Scheinberg's yeshiva, so a couple of times a year, Hashanah Rabbah, Tisha B'Av, you know, they went to the Kaisel. The whole yeshiva went to the Kaisel. Now the yeshiva is hundreds and hundreds. At that time it was 20, 30. But they got on a bus and they went to the Kaisel, Netzach Hama, with the Rosh Yeshiva, with Rav Scheinberg, and it was, in a sense, it was a beautiful experience. What do I mean in a sense? That one time I said on Hashanah Rabbah, I said, I didn't really want to go, I'd rather daven locally. So the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, questioned me, like, why don't you come to the Kaisel? He was actually a pretty big Kaisel goer. He walked there from Sarutskin to the Kaisel on Yom Kippur morning. And Netzach Hama, and then came back. And he was a big. So I said, I don't know, I find that the Kaisel is, balagan, you know? Like, you're hearing different tefillos, and, it's like, you know, you're supposed to answer your Heshmer Rabbi, you're not supposed to answer your Heshmer Rabbi. Like, I wasn't able to focus as much as, in a regular minyan in tefillah. That's what I said, and I didn't see, and the sun is shining on you and everything. I didn't find that it was conducive to, like, strong tefillah. So he said to me that you know, you don't go to the Kaisel is not a makam tefillah, it's a makam bakasha. God, I just remember there, wow. that's a paradigm shift. Like, yeah, now we did tefillah there, but the point is that the idea, I mean, you know, Jewish history came alive for me because the idea of, you know, whoever could, you know, people knew that if they had a chayla in their house someplace in Litta or in Poland, and somehow or another, if they were able to get a note into the Kaisel or a word at the Kaisel to go through enemy territory and go through Turks and Jordanians and whoever they were going to, they knew that Hashem would answer them, and he would. So, you know, like Rabbi Yehuda Levi writes, Halavai, I would be a bird that would be able to land on the Kaisel Hamaravi. That's what he says in Kinos. So, you know, and I just so okay, I go to the Kaisel, nothing seems to, no major changes, but the I mean, it's a perspective here that people, maybe an older person, understood that the Kaisel is a makam bakasha. It's not necessarily a makam tefillah. This, that it became a shul, is a chiddush. That's a post 1967 chiddush. And you see that when Jews went to the Kaisel time, or of Kook, in those times, there was no machitza at the Kaisel. There was no, it's not because they were more liberal or, you know, they weren't as orthodox at that time. And, you know, if I suppose number today you take down the machitza, you know, what would happen? It's not what happened. What happened is it became a shul. The Kaisel went from a makam bakasha to becoming a makam tefillah, which is okay. And there's a rabbi, and it has to be orthodox, and we don't let women, you know, there's all kinds of hilchos shul now. And you wonder about, I don't know, like how that, it's an interesting thing, like if that was good or is that bad. I don't know, but I guess it is what it is. But that it's a shul is good, is okay, but that it sort of became no longer, to some extent, a makam bakasha. So the makam bakasha, where do you see the makam bakasha? Usually you'll see, no, I don't mean that, but I mean at the Kaisel itself, you'll see somebody who's maybe even a chiloni person who walks to the Kaisel. You'll see a soldier before he's going out to Gaza, or you'll see Havdil, President Trump, you know, go to the Kaisel. They don't know from tefillah, they know from bakasha. I mean, they probably know from politics, but you know, people somehow understood that, wow, this is a makam bakasha. This is the makam. What do you think about the history of the Kaisel? It's a makam bakasha. Why am I giving this whole history lesson here? Because in the Shema Koleinu, the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is the mutar lahachnis boy bakasha. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the whole Shemoneh Esrei is a bakasha. You could put a bakasha like you have in the art scroll sitter. If you need parnasa, say this yehi ratzain. If you need your kids to be matzliach, say that yehi ratzain. And now you're standing with your machzor, you have to make a decision. Do I want money? Do I want my kids to be matzliach? There's not enough time for both. So, you know, but those are personal bakashas which are inserted into a tefillah. Okay. But it's not the ikar ha-tefillah. Not the Ikar HaTefillah. So let me go back to this Reb Tzadik for a couple of minutes here. This is Yesodistic. Lifal Yeshua Lacher. How are you poil Yeshuas? Says Reb Tzadik, HaIkar, the main thing here is, Kishagam Hu Tzarech La'isai Davar. If you, or somebody comes to you, you're the rabbi, and somebody comes to you and says, help me. Are you going to be able to help that person or not? And the answer is, kishigam hu tzarech lo'isei davar. It'll work if the tzaddik also needs the same thing that you're asking for. Umitoich zechusai. So, if he needs it, why doesn't he have it? Why doesn't Hashem take care of him? Oh, this is the chap. Umitoich zechusai poil yeshuais la'atzmai. So Hashem is going to answer. I mean, if somebody says, can you daven for a chayla? If you feel it like it's your chayla, so then you have regesh in your tefillah. But he's saying something more. Kishigam hu tzarech lo'isei davar, mitoich zechusai, poil yeshuais la'atzmai, v'al yedei zeh memele noishim gam acherim imai. Now you're going to the tzaddik who needs the same thing that you need, and you're opening up a shefa from Shamayim, which is going and is being mashpia on everybody around you. The Isa Bebrachus Rabba, as in the Nefesh HaChaim brought, Bisara Harbe Akores Nifkadu Ima. That when Sarah became pregnant, Hashem Pakad as Sarah Kasher Amar, when Hashem made the miracle of Sarah becoming pregnant, so according to one Lashon in Chazal, every barren woman in the world became pregnant. Everybody who wanted to become pregnant became pregnant, women. So what's the nakuda there? How does it work? So for one reason or another, the door was not zoicha, or there are people that are not zoicha to the shefa of children, but it needed a sarah to open up that gate, and once sarah opened up the gate, it flowed for kol akara shebo'olam. So somebody in Indonesia or wherever the world was at that time, Eretz Kedem, all of a sudden, hey, miracle happened. We can't bring. Why? Because somebody who they probably never even heard of, Sarah Imenu, Hashem Pokad Sarah Kasher Amar. Kola Akoris, Sar Harbe Akoris, the Lashon Chazal is Kola Akoris, Harbe Akoris Nifka de Ima. The Amru, okay, so far so good. This really, though, builds on itself because. So why didn't Sarah daven earlier? You have this koach. So he adds a piece here. V'amru, he brings the famous Gemara in Brachos Yud Zayin. It's also Gemara in Tainus Chafei, which I have here, which I want to examine with you for a second. Kol olam kulay nizayin b'shvil hanina benin. So let's think about that Gemara for a second, famous Gemara. The Gemara says, it's hanina ben doisa. Hanina ben Doisa was an outstanding tzaddik. If you look in the Gemara inside, the Gemara says, important, the Gemara I'm reading from is Tainus Chafei Amud Aleph. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Omar Rav. I'll point out something. Hanina ben Doisa was in the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at the end of the Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and certainly Rav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Amar Rav, this is not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, because it's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, so it has to be Rav Yehuda. It's to be a mistake. Right. Also earlier, but it has to be Rav Yehuda. No, who said it was Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda was in the time of the Amoraim. He said in the name of Rav. Rav was Tanu Polik. Rav was on the cusp of Amoraim. So Rav Hanina ben Doisa was the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a child who was sick, and he wasn't getting a refuah, so he sent to Rav Hanina ben Doisa for a bracha, and it worked. And his wife was angry. You're not a tzaddik. I thought I married a tzaddik. What do you have to go to Rav Hanina ben Doisa? So he explains a different type of a tzaddik. So Rav Hanina ben Doisa, on the one hand, different kind of a tzaddik. On the other hand, I just want to point out, the Rav Hanina ben Doisa, there's not, as far as I know, there's not even one halacha from him in the Mishnah. So he wasn't a Tana in the sense of a poisik, or he was a meiser of halachas. It was a tzaddik. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught the whole door. But Rav Hanina ben Doisa, what do we know from Rav Hanina ben Doisa? Stories about Rav Hanina ben Doisa, about his tzidkis. So it's interesting that the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Tana, went to the tzaddik for a bracha. And here we have, so he was in the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which was the time of the Chorban. It was the end of the Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is Tainli Avne v'Chachamel. So that's when Rav Hanina ben Doisa. Here he says, let's call it Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, who said in the name of Rav, which was already a number of generations, probably 9 generations later, was Rav. Bechol yoim v'yoim, every single day, Baskol yoitzes v'aymeres, a Baskol comes forward and says, this is a gilui of Rav, that there is a Baskol, that kol ha'olam kulai einoi nizayin ala b'shvil chanino b'ni, that the whole world is being misparnes from chanino b'ni. The Bas Kol is saying chanino b'ni, meaning in the name of Hashem, my son chanino, Valdi. B'chanino b'ni, and this chanino, meaning chanino ben doisa, dayoi, it's enough for him, b'kav charuvin me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. He lives on a kav, right, a cup of charuvin, of kerub, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, except that Rashi somewhere says that what he did was he ground up the kerubs and he made it into flour, and for flour he made bread, and it was a kerub bread, which probably didn't exist in that day, but is probably today in every health food store, right? Kerub bread, right? So that was all he had, but it was the ultimate in subin. It was the ultimate in not having parnasa. So here you have an irony that Rav points out, that every day there's a bas kol that says that the world is misparnes from chanina b'ni, and he points out the irony, but chanina b'ni himself doesn't have anything. Yesh tevar kaza, no? I mean, I know a guy who's a Baal Chesed, and he helped, chasanim. I remember at least 8 or 9 chasanim buy a dira, so they can get married and have a dira. And he himself was living in a rented place, And I said, why don't you buy a dira? He says, I did 3 times, but I keep on giving the money. there's such a... But this is like even a deeper thing. Like the whole, this is not Sarah. This is my point. Sarah became pregnant. Sarah had a child. Sarah had a Yitzchak. So if Hashem pokad is Sarah kasher amar. So Sarah had Chanina. He didn't even have that. So he was like on a different thing than Sarah. Yet Reb Tzadok HaKohen brings the two things together. Point one. Point two is, what do you mean? B'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzeis v'achrezes. Chanina was dead already a long time. So what? Still? Okay, could be. So we're still living today on. Reb Tzadok in the Pri Tzadok, he says that from here you see that there's a chanina ben doisa in every generation. I don't know that I would want that job. Because that's the pshat in, so you have to learn correctly that Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, like people say over a memra and they don't think about who's saying it, but there's a tremendous diuk in who's saying it, because who's saying it tells you that it couldn't have been, but somebody like a Chanina ben Doisa exists in every generation. There's some, I don't know, Rav Steinemann or something in every generation, or somebody that nobody of us heard of. And he's davening for the door, and it's coming through him. So how does that work? And he doesn't get. Unlike Sarah, where it's stuck at least, he didn't get. And it could be that Sarah was davening all those years. Akasha was like, why wasn't Sarah davening all those years? All it takes is one Shemoneh Esrei. So daven. And Nefesh HaChaim brought the Chazal that say, Lama ha'imois, hayu nakorais, why was Sarah an akara? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's misavah l'tfiloshin shel tzadikim. So daven. Ma'abaya, so daven. She didn't daven mincha. My wife davens mincha. Why don't you daven mincha? Like, what's the...
Davening doesn't mean the word. It's 515 times. Oh. If you would have died one more time, maybe you would have had
and Zucht Besser, that the 515 times is why we went into Eretz Yisrael. So he was a Chanina ben Doisa. He was the getter of bought the deer in Eretz Yisrael for everybody, and he didn't have one. Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. What is the idea? So let's see what he says. Kol olam kulai nizayin b'shvil chanina. Af, the truth is, says Reb Tzadok, the harbei tzadikim gedolim hayu ba'isei dor. Here Reb Tzadok, if you will, is soicer what he says in the Pri Tzadok, but at least in the door of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, There were many tzaddikim. He wasn't the only tzaddik. So this is a big statement. The whole world is misparnas from him. Say the whole world's misparnas from Lamed Vav tzaddikim. Say the whole world. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't offer anything into the pot here. I mean, sof kol sof, you had tzaddikim, right? Raktikulam, he says, all the tzaddikim in that door, ivra b'shaita demezayna. They all lived. It was not the time of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, was not a time of famine. It was okay. The economy was okay. The time of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, b'diyuk, except for mamish by the Chorban, but also if you talk 50 years before the Chorban, it was okay. And there was not, so they weren't, they were tzaddikim, but there was not that type of a poverty that you found by Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. Raktikula ivra b'shaita demezayna. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa levadoi. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was the yachid in the door. Ki haya ani gadol. He was a tremendous ani. Dekashim is a nice of kikriyas yamsuf. The Gemara Imsachim says that his mezainus was like kriyas yamsuf, for him to get parnasa. So, how does it work? Shitzarech lif toyach, because Rav Chanina ben Doisa was the gatekeeper, and he had to be poseach shar chadash bishviloi. There had to be a new door open just because Rav Chanina ben Doisa needed parnasa because he was so poor. B'hamshachas yesh mi'ayin. He mamish created yesh mi'ayin. There was a new bria just for Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Shehu hamazal Yisrael. There's so many things here. V'hayidei hamshachas mazayin loy. And because the pipe was opened for Chanina ben Doisa, niftach mezayne l'chol o'elam kulay. So here's like the fascinating thing. Yes, everybody in the all the tzaddikim in that generation were doing okay. Why were they doing okay? Because Chanina ben Doisa was not doing okay. Because he was he had nothing but a kav charuvin, a little bit of carob flour, and since he had nothing but a little bit of carob flour, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to keep on showering him with parnasa. And that parnasa came to once the door is open, when the gates open, so get there, get some water, get some parnasa. So everything was coming through this tzaddik. Is this mean to Rav Chanina ben Doisa? Says the Gemara at the end, V'kad Chanina ben Doisa di loy v'kav charuvin mi'arev Shabbos le'arev Shabbos. He didn't need any more. It wasn't even that. So he had to remain an ani in order for the system to keep on working. So look what a mind-boggling system that we're talking about here. The system is that there has to be one tzaddik, and as Reb Tzaddik says, in every generation there has to be one tzaddik, not who's a martyr, and, you know, I'm willing to give up everything for the generation. No, you find this one tzaddik who's dailoi, maspiklo, b'pas charuvin me'arev Shabbos, le'arev Shabbos, ichdarf nishmer. The Gemara tells a story that his wife was once. There's a lot of stories about Rav Chanina ben Doisa, but it was interesting that she was embarrassed of the poverty. So she used to. It's hard to understand, but she was embarrassed of the poverty. So she used to bake a fire with twigs that she would find, and then the neighbors would think that there's you know what's cooking, and so they would. So one time the Gemara says one of the neighbors came in and said, "Oh, what are you making, Rebbetzin Chanina? What are you making?" So she said, "Baking." I don't know what she's making. So he said, "Let me see." It was an empty oven. So all right, they had neighbors like that in those days too. So so she went to the oven and she opened it up and there was a nest and it was full. There was a brisket in there or whatever. So there's a diuk here also. Like, what did she do? What was she opening up? Because it's not that she didn't want the neighbors to feel bad for her that she was poor, but be'etzem she didn't need anything. She was also daila b'pas charuvin. But so how did she go and be soymach on a nest to open the oven door or whatever you have to do with that? Take her into the back of the kitchen. The answer is by a tzaddik, a tzaddikus. It's no difference between teva and nest. Okay, if right now we need to have a roast beef in there, there's going to be a roast beef in there, and sure enough, there was. And the raya is that she's the one who Rav Hanina ben Doiso said, okay, not me, but give my wife parnasa, and she made him give it back, like a golden leg, you know. She made him give it back. So she wasn't into it. The question is, what is maspikla? So this is a very important nuance here, that it's not about like a suffering saint. This is not Jewish. What it's about is that there's some kind of a tzaddik that just doesn't need. The reason I said Rav Steinman before is that, you know, it was, you know, if you went to visit him, you know, it was nothing. It was, you know, a cup of tea and you know, I think he said he didn't make mezonos in tens of years. He never made a mezonos. You know, it'd be nothing. It was nothing. And he sat in a chair, a hard chair without a back. You know, it was a... But I don't think that he was unhappy. It didn't seem to me to be particularly depressed over it or anything. It's just like a dialogue. Dialogue.
So why do you need a special tzinor for somebody...
For his Pascha Reuven.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, I guess Hashem didn't want him to be an ani. And then he kept on, okay, it's here, take it. So it's hard to understand all the mechanism is what's fascinating me. The mechanism that's fascinating me is that, yes, it was a door, which was Lushin over here, Ivr b'shaita de mezayna. It was a door that people had mezaynas. But then you have to ask, what is the fountainhead? What's the makor of those mezaynas? And this is what he says. Amarav, there's a Hanina ben Doiso somewhere that's poyel yeshuas. And what it means, what he goes on practically to say, there's so much to learn here, but he goes on practically to say that if you are... and I presume everybody is impoverished in a particular area of life. You think like, don't come to me, I got my own problems. Like it's b'dafka, something, in other words, where you have a koach ha-tfila more than any other place is dafka in something that you're lacking and you've made peace with. Two conditions. Everybody think deeply. It's something that you're lacking. It could be physical, it could be psychological, it could be financially, it could be health, but something that you're lacking, but more important than lacking, because a lot of people are lacking, doesn't make you a tzaddik. The tzaddik is the person who embraces their destiny and embraces their condition. Poyel Yeshuas, you know. So many tzaddikim like that. Just before I leave, I just want to make sure that I stress this point correctly. The trick is in the embracing. The kunsir is, at my stage of the game, this is what I'm working on. So I'm sure, like, you know, there are certain things that we're forever fetching about. You know, I wish I was more this, and I wish I was less that. You know, like you can stand in front of the mirror. You know, it would be good if this was bigger and that was smaller. And like, you know, and you look at your bank account and you have the same machshava. But deeper things than those obvious things. I mean, somebody said to me a few weeks ago, like, you know, he was talking about his shalom bias and everything. So he told me that, you know, like the real problem is that he's very lonely. That's the real issue. And I don't know what brought me to say, but I said to him, like, let me ask you something. How long are you married? He's married 10 years, 11 years. How long are you lonely? He says, as long as I remember. So, okay, this has nothing to do with your marriage then. It's, you know, Hashem made you a lonely person. You know, now, obviously, if I was normal, the right eitzah is like get out and meet people and get on the internet or join Facebook, do something. I don't know, you know, just go to Kiddush's, you know, join KSY, you know, do something, like, you know, just stand there and be lonely, you know. But what occurred to me is that, because I had a third question, my question was, like, what did you accomplish because of your loneliness? Fascinating. I'm this particular person, wrote three svarim, this particular person, so many different, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to, but accomplished so much. If he wouldn't have been lonely, and I'm just giving you an example, like none of those would have, so Hashem gave you a Keli. It's not even, Hashem gave you a Keli. And here's the secret. The secret is, oh my gosh, I have to suffer with loneliness so I can be this Keli. No, because the minute that you embrace it, you're happy with it. Adaraba. There's no expectations from your wife that you're supposed to solve my loneliness. There's no expectation from your neighbors. There's not even an expectation from God. Like what I have is what I have, and this is the Keli that I have to do something with it. So I'm imagining that it's an important nakuta here, this embracing. It requires some maturity because, especially if you're, a Westerner, it's like everything is very... Magili, and the goal of getting, I'm going to become a millionaire when I'm 30, I'm going to retire when I'm 35. And it's all good, but it's all like, get it, inherit Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if that's part of the West or not, but it's also like a Magili type of a thing. But the idea is the Sameach Bechelkoi is a really deep idea. I mean, we talk about Sameach Bechelkoi, like we can make peace with it, but Sameach Bechelkoi is a different idea, that to understand that whatever my chasarn, Keser Reb Chanina, whatever his chasarn was a chasarn in Parnassa, but he had the wife that was for him, he had what was, but I'm not saying it wasn't a big Talmud Chacham, but Ein Halachas Bishmai, there are no Halachas Bishmai, but he had a Tachlis, and his Tachlis of his Anias, and this is what Rav said, the tachlis of his anias was to give parnasa for the whole dar. Now, if a person knows, what does Reichman have over him? what does any gvir have? I mean, he's giving parnasa to the entire dar. I mean, that's an amazing thing. So, let it stick. So maybe what Sarah was saying. There's a lot to say here. So keep coming. But maybe that Sarah was davening the whole time. It's not that all of a sudden, I got a chop, I'm going to daven and invite Hashem Pokat and Zorah Kasher Omar. But what she was davening was that there were many babies being born. When she was davening as an ani, tefila la'ani ki'atayf. In other words, she embraced that idea of not having children. But then came a point, as the Chumash says, in the upcoming Parshios, then it came a point where he says, but what's going to be the future? What's going to be the dynasty? Where's it going to be Klal Yisrael? So she kind of like tweaked her tefillah at that moment. So at some point, maybe her Chanina ben Daisa wants to prepare for Mashiach. So I need some chicken here, and not enough with Pas Charuvin. But Be'etzim, it could be that Sarah didn't just have a chop at 90 years old to start davening. It could be that was her avoda. That was Avram Avinu's avoda. The avoda was to be a shefa. And to be a tzinor, see, the Nefesh HaChaim says later that kol ha'olam kulay misparnes bishvil chanina b'ni. Nefesh HaChaim says that, what do you mean bishvil chanina b'ni? Because of. So he says bishvil is hiloshin shnei shvilin. That's what his loshin is. Hiloshin shnei shvilin, like an irrigation path. That's what a shvil is. Like a shvil. It's like a pipe. So, kol ha'olam kulay misparnish b'shvil chanina b'ni. Everything came through that pipe. I'm happy to be the pipe. I'm happy to be the pipe, and I'm not suffering with this. I'm happy with a pas charuvin. You want to be poil yeshuas for others, I repeat. So the way to do it is to become a master of embracing some chasarin that you have, and then you'll be able to help every single person who has that chasarin and wants it.
Pipe for a mikvah can't be a fake keeper either.
There you go. Can't be a clay keeper. Well, wonderful, beautifully said. Okay, thank you very much. How good an Arab Shabbos.
Is it in any way related to...